Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. Hey everyone, go ahead and grab a copy of the Bible if you have one handy, whether it's paper or electronic. Open it up to Joshua chapter 3. We'll be looking at Joshua chapter 3 and 4 today, so we've got a lot to cover, and so we're going to kind of just dive right in as we continue on in our strong series as we go through the book of Joshua here. But I want to open this up as a little bit of a thought process as we get ready to look at this event that covers Joshua 3 and 4, which is why we're looking at both of them together. And then next week we'll kind of do the same thing with Joshua 5 and 6. But have you, how many of you like hearing tales of the past? Whether it's a story told by your grandpa or grandma or aunt or uncle, mom or dad, friend, even a sibling, and we hear these stories. And they tell us with a smile on their face, and they show us these the joy that they have in these encounters that they are telling you about, and they remember these events like they were yesterday, and it just puts a big smile on their face. Well, here is a story that kind of sets up something like that. It lends to this idea that they remember something that God did for them, and then they can tell other people and even their kids about what happens to them now. And sometimes I forget that this is a different group of Israelites. Like, sometimes when I think about the Old Testament, which is majority about Israel and the Israelites, but I think that they're all just kind of like one people, right? One, and they are, but they've had changes in their lineups, right? And this is one of those changes. Joshua is leading a new group of Israelites in this book of Joshua during these events, right? As we saw in Deuteronomy, Moses was giving these people, this new generation of Israel, what the old generation got at the foot of Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus and some in Leviticus. So this is a new group of people. And as we saw in the very first episode of this series, we saw that God wanted them to be strong and courageous. He wanted them to be fearless, as we talked about last week, but he also wanted them to follow his commands and do what he asked them to do, and they would succeed. And so we're going to see here as we start looking here in Joshua chapter 3, we're going to see something that comes up and some instructions that are given and what Israel does with all of that. So if you're there, Joshua chapter 3, and it says here, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove. Sometimes these names are hard to pronounce. And arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, Israel officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't go any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. Verse 7, Then the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites ahead of you. So he's going to take care of all the people ahead of you, basically is what Jesus is saying, what God is saying. Jesus says it to us too. Sorry, I'm getting worked up because that's a lot of stuff there. Even though it's just a bunch of random people, like seriously, that's like God is pretty much, I'm going to take care of this for you if you just follow what I'm saying. And so verse 11, it says, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord and the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priest will carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth. And as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off and the river will stand up like a wall. Well, where have they seen that before? And now these people, this is where I said what I said before. To me, it's like, oh, well, they've seen that before. Like in previous looks at this book and at this story, like I've said that before. It's like, oh, well, they've seen that before. Not these people, not this Israel. Maybe Joshua and Caleb, they might have seen this, but not now. And these people are seeing this for the first time, and they've heard about it, though. This is one of the reminders that the people of Israel are going to see that God has done for them in the past. Because even though they weren't there for the Red Sea, they heard about it. God had, the people had told them about it. Whether other people in the Israelite camp, whether their family members, they have told them about it. And so we continue on here in verse 14. It says, so the people left their camps to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went out ahead of them. It was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance at a town they called Adam. And the water below that point flowed into the Dead Sea until the riverbed was completely dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now, we've been taking a journey here of faith. And we started off with journey, and then this word faith kind of came in, and we've been building on this idea of just having faith. And we see that right here. Imagine, like, whatever body of water you live by, the ocean, just a town river, even a little creek, like, that's maybe deep enough where it's kind of, like, interesting to get into. In the city that I live in, we have a river that runs through, and you wouldn't just want to walk out in it, okay, because, you know, it's deep, and it flows, and all of that. This is a step of faith, though. Because the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant were just listening to what God said. God said, just step out into the water and it will stop flowing. He told them that. But it still takes that step. Faith takes a step. And it's trusting in what God has for us. And as we've talked about too, we can take steps toward what God has for us or away from what God has for us. We can take steps in faith, which take us to what God has for us as far as our hopes and dreams and plans and all of that, right? Because God has good plans for us, and God wants our plans to succeed too. He's not just like, nope, my plans. Like, he wants us, he's wired us to have dreams, have goals, have ambitions and all of that. And we can take steps toward that with God and have faith that he's going to take us where we need to go. Or we can kind of go off and do our own thing, kind of like Abraham did. He had faith as he left, but he didn't have enough faith to leave some people behind. And then he didn't have enough faith that God was going to keep his promise. And then so he helped God a little bit. And we've talked about that. And that's kind of, I keep going back to Abraham because it's very clear that he was taking steps toward what God had for him, and then he'd take a couple steps back. And we often do that. And here is the same kind of thing with the Israelite priests that were carrying this Ark of the Covenant. And they stepped out in faith that what God said was going to happen. Because it says here that the water was overflowing its banks. So the river was very full. But as soon as they stepped in, it says as soon as, where is it? As soon as the touched the water's edge, it didn't, the river's edge, it didn't even, like, their feet weren't even really in it yet. They touched the edge. It stopped flowing. Now, I don't know necessarily if this is an event similar to the Red Sea, which I don't think it was, as we'll kind of talk about toward the very end of this series, the Journey to the Promised Land series, that is, because God doesn't do things the same way twice. Like, he helps us one way, and then he'll help us another way, because he doesn't want us always looking, well, God did that the last time, why won't he do that again, right? So he helps us, but then he wants us to see things that he could help us in a different way besides just the way that he helped us before. And so it kind of says here that it was cut off and the river will stand up like a wall. And then it said that the in verse 16, it says it had been backing up a great distance and the water below that point flowed back into the Dead Sea. So it's like the water kind of stopped here, maybe made kind of like a wall, right? But it was only like a half wall. It wasn't the same, like, parting of the Red Sea kind of thing. It just stopped flowing, where the Red Sea kind of got parted. So that's what I see here with this, is this is where our faith comes in. It's taking that step. And so this event continues, though, in Joshua chapter 4. So let's turn the page here, and we're going to see something else, okay? And this, in case we're kind of confused, this is about reminders. And so we saw one reminder here that God did what he said he was going to do. God said that the water would stop, and it reminded them of what had happened to them before, of stories that they heard. And this is all seems kind of like it's a bunch of loose ends, but it will all kind of tie together as we come to a close here in a few minutes after we get through this. And now this is a different kind of reminder. Okay, there's reminders that God gives us instructions and that God comes through for us and he keeps his promises. So that was in Joshua 3. Now these are other kind of reminders, right? This other reminder is reminders of also what God has done, right? So the event that happened, and sometimes we'll see things in life just like this Jordan River thing, we'll see things in life that remind us of what God has done, and that's what the Jordan River was. Hey, remember, God did this for us before. And so now this is going to be a little bit different as we look at chapter 4 here, and we'll read a majority of this one as well. And it says, verse 1, when the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at a place where you will at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men. He had called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each tribe, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the Ark of the Lord. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. So this wasn't go find like a little pebble or a skipping stone. This was a stone. Carry it on your shoulder. So this had some weight to it. And each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each tribe. We will use these stones to build a memorial, to build a reminder. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people forever. So the men did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe. They carried them to the place where they camped that night and constructed a memorial there. Verse 9 tells us that Joshua did the same thing in the middle of the Jordan River, at the place where the ark stood, as a reminder there. The priests who were carrying, verse 10, the priests who were carrying the ark stood in the middle of the river until all the Lord's commands that Moses had given Joshua were carried out. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed, and when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over. The priests crossed over with the ark as the people watched. And so then we got some other things here that kind of go along with the story, that the armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan, just as Moses directed. These men were about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over the plains of the of Jericho. And then we see what God said, right? So now we've got this. So now we've got these reminders, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But I want to indicate verse 14 here, that this is that day. Verse 14 here says, that day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. So that just indicates right there, like, is it key to the story? Yeah, a little bit, but it's key to the fact that it kind of goes back to God keeping his promise. These people are going to look at you differently after what happens today. And so then verse 18, it says, as soon as the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant came up out of the riverbed, their feet were on high ground, and the water of the Jordan returned as it was before. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. And then he restates this again, and this is where I want to really look, these last three verses. It says, then Joshua said to the Israelites, In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before our eyes and kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did the Red Sea, when he dried it up until all had crossed. He did this so all the nations of earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. So, let's unpack this. This is what's happening here. Okay? It says, in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? So it's God encouraging this idea. Hey, share things with your kids. And that's what he's encouraged me. Hey, share things of the past. And I know it gets hard when it comes to parenting and it comes to trying to get your kids to understand that you, even though times are different, you have been where they are in their own life. You were a teenager once. You were 10 years old once. And it's hard, but they liked hearing stories. And even though they may not understand it, eventually they do understand. I've run into that. Where, you know, you try and you tell them stuff and you hear the words, you just don't understand. You just don't get it. And I'm not trying to, like, say that what they're facing isn't a problem. It's that I've been there and I understand that it is a little bit of a higher level because of technology and all of that now. You know, where you could shut it off. Like, example, bullying and rumors and all that stuff. When you left school or you left the group, you could shut it off because there was no texting. There was no Facebook. There was no Snapchat and TikTok and all of that, where, like, bullying can follow you around. And these rumors and this stuff can spread faster than lightning. And you try and you say that. Right, and you try and help them with the stories, but this is what God is encouraging here. Tell stories of the past. that remind you of who God is and what God has done for you, but also to help them. Just, hey, what does this mean? You know, I've got tattoos on my arms, and my kids ask me, what do these mean? You know, I've got kids even at my church and other places, they ask me, what do these mean? And that's what these were. And really, my tattoos are like kind of a reminder that they're not memorials, if you will, of different events in my life that I want to be reminded of when I look at my arms. And this is what Joshua was doing. Joshua was doing that. He was putting up this reminder where they camped to remember what God has done. And then I'm sure, just like he said, kids came up and they say, hey, what are these here for? This is weird. What, why are they here? And they were able to tell the story. And we can have those reminders as well. God wants us to remember what he's done for us, and God wants us to be able to tell what he does. And just like I've said, God gives us reminders. Maybe we see something and we go, oh yeah, God came through for me there. Or God came through for me there, so he'll come through for me again. It may not look the same, because sometimes I think that's where we get frustrated, if we're honest. We get frustrated because we can't see what God's doing, but he doesn't do things the same way twice. If they were looking for the Jordan River to stand up on both ends and walls of water, just like the Red Sea, they would have missed it. But the Jordan River stopped, stood up a little bit. Maybe it wasn't as spectacular as the Red Sea, but it still was something that God said, and it still required faith for all of them. Not just the priest that stepped out into this, was understood maybe to be a raging water, a raging river at this moment. It took faith. And it takes faith for us to be reminded. It takes faith for us to trust God that he will do what he's done before again, maybe just in a different way. And that's what God is encouraging here. Set up reminders. Remember what God has done for us. He wants us to do that. And he wants us to tell other people about it. Not just our kids, but others, everybody. He wants us to share that with other people so they can also see how God has come through for us in our lives. There's lots of different things for me that God has shown me in my life. And I thought about this a little bit, and now I'm going back just a second here as I look at this. I'm reminded of something that I wrote a while back called Six Rocks, and it's actually a podcast episode. You can go back and the archive and find this a little bit. But I'm reminded of this, okay, because of the story that I told with it. And I want to share that with you now. A couple years ago, back in 2021, we were on vacation in Mackinac Island. We went up there and we had a vacation up there, and we did different things. We went out to the island and we biked around the island and we all of that. And we stopped by kind of like a rocky area, and there were rocks of all different shapes and sizes, big and small, but you could walk on them. The kids were kind of playing around, and we saw some other ones that people had stacked, right? Some of them were square or like had flat side, you know, you could stack them. And we had seen where other people had stacked them as well. And so, and it was one of those things too, where it's like, you got the big kind of rocks that you can step out on and stuff. And anyway, and the kids were kind of doing it. We were playing, a little bit there as we were resting, seeing how tall they could stack the rocks, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And as I'm sitting there and I'm watching them do this, I thought about what I just read in Joshua 4, right? About taking these rocks and putting them up and being reminded. And I was trying to get them stacked up. You know, I was trying to stack 12, right? I was trying to do that. And I was just like, God just kind of, I said, stack six. Just stack six is what I heard. And I had my rocks there, and I was fumbling around. And why is that, like, important? Stack six. Like, 12 is in the, like... And the six represents my family. Six rocks, six people. Two bigger rocks represent my wife and myself. And the four littler rocks represents our four kids. And I took a picture, and the picture is available there. You can go on our website, thepointoffocus.com. You can actually find the blog post with the actual picture. But on the podcast archive, the picture is actually the thumbnail for the episode. And it's, I sat and I looked at the rocks, and I was reminded all of what God had done for us. You see, this point of this vacation, I had lost my job at that point, just a few months prior. And we had debated not taking the vacation. We had taking it back so we could use the money, right? And we were trying to keep things as normal as possible. We had savings, and I've talked about that a little bit on this podcast before, but we wanted to just keep things as normal as possible until, like, things got critical. And we had already paid for most of the vacation and stuff like that, you know. So I told my wife, I was like, we just need to go for it. We just need to go on this vacation. We don't need to do anything drastic or crazy that would potentially upset the kids or anything like that. Because we were trying to keep that I wasn't working away from them a little bit, because and I know some are like, well, you were like not being honest with them and stuff like that. But to be honest, we were, because we were trying to just let them be in life. Because I watched my parents struggle sometimes with money, and it just kind of puts a weight on you. And as if high school and middle school and stuff like that wasn't enough for them. And over time, eventually, it kind of started to come out and things like that. But at this point, we hadn't really told them yet. So we were trying not to do anything crazy. And it's like, and that's why I was reminded with these rocks, all that God had done for us. As I sat there and I looked at what represented my family, I saw that what God had done for us and what he had brought us through up until that point. And I was reminded of all the promises that he did, and promises that he has for all of us. And I was reminded of all that God was protecting us from, and how he was watching over us. Because, you know, this is also, too, tail end of COVID time here. So, like, this was, like, probably one of the first big things we were able to do. So, just kind of being on lockdown, and just how God had provided in that, God had protected us in that, and how God had cared for us and all of that, and then losing my job, and he's continuing to do that. This reminder here this reminder was that for Israel, too. It was there, it was present for them. And they were reminded of God's goodness and favor to them. And it's still serving as a reminder centuries later. And so we continued on our bike ride. And we kept seeing little stacks of rocks. And I wondered if people had seen them the same way that I did. If they were stacking things that represented something, or if they were stacking them just for stacking them. But every time, I was like, this is what God has done for my family. And I encourage you to go find this picture on our website. And because I'm looking at it right now, and I just remember what God has done for us. And I think that's what all of this whole episode is, these two chapters are for, is for us to be reminded. You know, sometimes we breeze over these stories as they're familiar. And as I started off this Joshua series, this series that we're calling Strong, right, I said there is two things that God wanted Joshua, Israel, and us to be. And that was strong and courageous. And as I looked at Joshua 2 and refreshed myself and refreshed some old notes, I saw that God wanted them to be fearless. As they go with God, we can be fearless. And we talked about that last week. And then this one was Be Reminded. And this was unintentional. I mean, I could have called the series B, because these few chapters, there's things that God wants us to be. And so I want you to just like God wanted Israel, this intentional thing that God does to remind them and to remind us. I wasn't looking for anything to be reminded about. But as I'm sitting there, I'm on family vacation, right? And God just shared with me that. Be reminded of all that he'd done. And I was just sitting there with rocks. And I remembered this passage in Joshua chapter 4. That this is what God wants us to be reminded. And as I read it again here, it says, you can tell them, and they will be reminded. They remind us. And I never really saw that before until now. They remind us. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what God has for us. God wants us to be reminded of all that he's done for us, for how he's cared for us, for the journeys that he's taking us on. I've been excited for this journey. I'm so glad I picked that word, journey. As I'm journeying through these scriptures that I've taught before, that I've looked at before, that I can quote some of, and I'm journeying through them in a new way. And I'm reminded of all the things that God has done, even for the people that we've already looked at. If you've been following this series for a while, like some of this stuff is, God is reminding us even still that he's with us, that he's for us, that he's not against us. He wants us to be strong and courageous. He's not going to leave us. Come on, somebody. That is just what God wants us to do. And if we look at life, he's constantly reminding us. He's giving us little things. Hey, remember, I took care of you there. Keep going with me. Keep trusting me. And that's what God has for us today. And so I'm calling them 12 stone moments, okay? I mean, I got 6 stones in my little thing that I just told. But in the Bible, 12 stone moments. And I want to encourage you this week. This is my encouragement. I try to do it every week. And I hope that all of these words bless and encourage you, and that you share them along with other people so they can also be blessed and encouraged. But this one, I feel like I'm leaving you with something, right? Like this works for us. As it did for Israel. Every time they pass that 12 stones, every time you pass something in your house, every time you pass a picture of something, you're reminded of something, right? When we see things happen in life and we've been through something similar, we are reminded that God has brought us through it, and he always will. That's what we're reminded of. So this week, over the next several days, over the next several months or whatever, what 12 stone reminders do you see? What 12 stone moments do you remember that God has done for you, that God has encouraged you with, how God has blessed you, brought you through something, whether it's sickness or a marital problem, divorce, whether it's the death of loved ones or whatever, that God has brought you through, and how that stuff can even be used to help other people. They're reminded that God brought us through that stuff. Whether it's financial, whether it's family related, whatever it is. And I could go on and on and on. But this week, do that. This week, sit down and say, what are some moments that I can be reminded of that God has been with me, that God has been for me, that God is not against me? I encourage you to do that this week. Look for your 12 stone moments. Look for your 12 stone reminders this week. I'll see you next week.